Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danker, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. And we've had some earnings out right here in Singapore, UOB.
So that was one to watch because a lot of question marks over how banks will do with the current climate around COVID-19. You've got a looming recession, people potentially going out of jobs, mortgages on the line. So how will banks be doing for the quarters to come? And so far for the first quarter, we've seen UOB reporting a 19% drop. And of course, a bit of concern as well around what's happening in the oil industry. To get a bigger picture, we've got Daniel Tabush. He is the founder of the Tabush Report, and he has over 25 years experience analyzing Asia Pacific banks. Morning, Daniel. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Ryan. I'm very good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. It's great to hear, Daniel. So UOB, initial thoughts from you, Daniel. What are your first impressions?
My first impression is that the numbers are highly misleading, almost impossible to understand the state of the economy by looking at the headline. Even in the wrap that you guys just gave a few minutes ago about all the earnings numbers coming out, and we've seen many U.S. banks with minus 50, minus 70, minus 90% profit, the 19% decline year on year is almost meaningless. And the reason is UOB took most of a load of their provisions through the balance sheet. It didn't affect the profit and loss.
So a bit of financial accounting going on behind the scenes. So it's very hard to make, I guess, a good comparison with the numbers this year versus last year. If you look at the provision for loan losses, Daniel, it seems like it's pretty much in trend with what we've been seeing from the likes of DBS and other banks. Impairment charges are going up. In fact, UOB triple what we saw last year, $286 million. What do you make of this, Daniel?
Well, remember, $286 million is through the income statement. They took another $260 million through the balance sheet. So the number is $546 million. It's a huge, huge number. But, you know, even though they did this, their loan loss reserves to loans is less than 1.5%. Citibank is double that. Bangkok Bank is more than triple that. These numbers are insufficient.
And if you look at the question marks that have been coming up over the asset quality of banks, how do you rate what you're seeing on UOB's books, which has been on a bit of a de-risking drive? If you look at the NPL ratios, it's up by 0.1 percentage points to 1.6%. How do you score this for UOB, Daniel?
Well, UOB reports that their new NPLs in the quarter was $573 million. It is a huge increase in the quarter, much more than for DBS. And their recoveries were down about 75% in the quarter. So that shows you how bad that quarter is. And remember, that quarter does not include a full 3 months of lockdown.
That's right. So a lot still yet to pan out for UOB.
That's right. And I would say the headline NPL numbers are also flattered because in the year, they took write-offs at about 10 times higher than first quarter 2019. And that makes the NPL numbers go down. So they're, you know, you got to really go through the details to understand what's really happening here.
Yeah, and let's dive into the details, Daniel, on the loans growth numbers. If you look at loans, it looks rather okay, 4% quarter-on-quarter for Singapore and North Asia. But I understand it's quite tough if you look at the numbers right now because it is potentially misleading.
Well, first of all, lending is a very seasonal business, so one should really focus on year-on-year numbers. I actually don't think banks, you would want to see a lot of lending into a depression-like environment. So you want to see very low numbers. Well, what to me stood out is that there's 21% growth in Southeast Asia. I suppose that's going to be India year on year. Don't know if that's supportive lending, but notice they had 8%, very high growth in rest of world lending. And again, some of this, Ryan, this could be where banks are all of a sudden caught out and large corporates draw down on off-balance sheet credit lines. And that's usually not good quality.
Yeah, when companies are under stress, they have to draw down on their credit lines. We are chatting with Daniel Tabush, founder of the Tabush Report. And Daniel, turning our attention to the oil and gas sector, of course, a lot of headlines around Hin Leong. What do you make of the exposure there for UOB? Are we close to seeing a repeat of the pain we've seen back in 2017 when the oil and gas sector really took a bit of a slump?
Very possible. In year 2016, UOB saw its special mention loans double. And then the next year, what happened is that their special mention loans went down and all their loss loans went up. So it could take a bit of time. And what we don't see, which is very unusual in the release from UOB, we don't see a lot of balance sheet data. We don't see the distribution of all of its loans, its special mention loans, its loss loans. But that would be really important to understand what's happening.
Of course, not a lot of details in this quarterly's earnings because of the shift to half-yearly reporting. Daniel, looking at what's coming up, right, we have plenty of headwinds. You've got the prospects of a looming recession, potentially more people going out of jobs. How close are banks right now to the type of stress levels we saw in the last crisis?
Oh, they're not there yet. This is just because we haven't had the full impact yet of all these delinquencies. Remember, if a loan is not paying you for 30 days, it could still be considered a performing loan. So if all during March, a loan didn't pay you, then that's okay. But if you have that consistently occurring through April and May and June, that's when you could really get a lot of doubtful loans, lost loans, and much higher provision costs.
And then just to wrap things up, right, banks often seen as a dividend play by investors. How much pressure are Singapore banks under right now to cut dividends, and how likely is that going to happen in the next few quarters?
I would say they're under a lot of pressure. It would be unusual for, in this depression-like environment, for Singapore banks, which are prudently managed by the MAS, to allow high or reasonable dividends, where even you're seeing these things deferred even in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So I would expect that to come through. It may not be even in their own interest, because what should happen is that you get a lot more bad loans, a lot more credit costs, and then it becomes clear that they really shouldn't be paying out dividends.
Yeah, plenty of headwinds to watch for the banking sector. We've been chatting with Daniel Tabush. He is the founder of the Tabush Report. Daniel, thank you so much for your analysis this morning.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.